Well, we've been teaching through the book of Psalms, so we're ready to go to Psalm 100. And I am kind of, be honest with you, cherry picking the Psalms. I'm not going to everyone, but I'm going to the ones that, okay, I'm just going to say it. I'm going to my favorites, okay? All right. I'm the teacher, so I guess I get to choose that. But I know I've passed up already some remarkable Psalms, and some of you probably watched me jump over one or two and you thought, oh no, that's my favorite psalm. How can he not teach on that? And I'm sorry about that, but I'm wanting to keep this study just kind of in a certain time frame, and so that's what we're doing. I imagine that a lot of you in the room, if I asked you, could stand up and close your Bible and quote the 100th psalm. If you can't, I would encourage you to memorize Psalms 100. I think by the end of the lesson, you're going to understand what a great benefit this psalm can be in your life. My dad, years ago, when I was the assistant pastor, he came to me and he said, Jerry, I want every young person in our church and in our Christian school to be able to say by memory three psalms. He said, Psalms 1. And boy, what an important psalm, Psalms 1, come on, especially for a young person. And then he said, I want them to be able to quote Psalms 23. And folks, the comfort, oh my goodness sakes, the comfort that folks have received and the encouragement, because it's not just a funeral psalm, it's a valley walking psalm. And we're all going to have to walk through some of these valleys. And then he said, then Psalms 100. And so we incorporated that into our Sunday school, and we incorporated that into our Christian school. And I don't know. I wouldn't say everyone, because, you know, sometimes if they haven't reviewed it in a while, they may not get it exactly. But I would tell you that most of the kids around here, if you stop them, they could quote those three psalms. Well, we're going to look at one of those three. And I call this psalm the How to Have a Good Attitude Psalm. How to Have a Good Attitude Psalm. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Heavenly Father, bless the Sunday school hour. I want to pray again for our teachers scattered all over the building. Bless everyone that right now is standing up in front of young people with an open Bible. Bless the young adult class that's meeting out there. May they have a sweet time and a blessed time. And Lord, we're excited about all of the festivities of the day, and we're going to certainly enjoy the fellowship and the food later. But Lord, we don't want to look past the Bible. We don't want to be looking, Lord, so hard at those things and be so focused on those things that we miss what you might want for us. I'm looking so forward to hearing Brother Comfort's message. Bless him, Lord, and thank you that he was able to come. Now, Lord, as we look into this psalm, help us, Lord, and help this psalm to be able to keep us on the victory side. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, very good. Psalm 100, the How to Have a Good Attitude Psalm. A good attitude. I don't know about you, but sometimes I struggle with my attitude. Years ago, I was in a car. I was in Bible college. There was a man driving the car, a friend of mine. We were going to UPS. I rode in a carpool with Jim Bontoro, and he's a pastor on the East Coast now. And Jim came from a little bit of a rough background, had gotten saved not too long before he came to Bible college. And so he's a little rough around the edges, but you know what? I like new converts. I like people that are on fire for God. And man, he loved God and had surrendered to preach and was figuring it out and finding his way. So we came to a light, and you know how the light just turns that yellow where you really want to go, but you know you shouldn't. And I could see him, is he going to go? Is he not? And he finally hit the brakes. Because it was turned red pretty quickly, and about the time he hit the brakes, I'm in the passenger side, and all of a sudden something rolled out from underneath the seat and hit me in the back of the leg, and I thought, what is that? And I looked down, and I reached down, picked it up, and it was a billy club. Y'all know what a billy club is? It's something you use on a billy goat if he's not listening to you. A billy club. and hit me on the back of the legs. And I looked at this thing, and I looked over at Jim, and Jim's kind of looking sheepishly at me, and I said, "What is this?" And he said, "I call that my attitude adjuster." My attitude adjuster. I guess from time to time in his former life, if he decided somebody's attitude wasn't right, he had a way to adjust their attitude. So again, he was finding his way, folks. He's a pastor now. He's doing well, and I haven't heard any reports of him beating up anybody with a billy club, so I think he's doing okay. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I need an attitude adjustment. And, you know, we love when we're living on the victory side, and I want to stay there. But folks, we've got so many things to be thankful for. We got so many things to rejoice over. And we got so many reasons to be glad. But we also, come on now, deal with real life. And, you know, not everything in real life is joyful and glad and happy. And there's hard things. And sometimes, you know, I just find myself, all right, if I'm all by myself, then I'm by myself. But even if you're not this way, if you go like this, it would make me feel better about me. But sometimes I'll just be walking and I'm mumbling under my breath. I'm like the Israelites in the Old Testament. I'm walking around mumbling under my breath about this or that or the other. I drove back from, by the way, John Ross wanted me to tell everybody hello. I literally Friday night drove to Madison, Alabama, spent the night, got up the next morning, went out with John and his family, ate lunch with them, went over to the church. They had 200 men show up to a wild feast, outdoorsman banquet, preached to them, ate well. Boy, there was lots of meat. I'm going to go ahead and tell you about it because you're going to eat well in a minute here. But ate well, got in the car, drove back, trying to come up between Huntsville up to Nashville, Tennessee. And I got to thinking, maybe there was a convention going on in Nashville. I don't know if there is a group called the Worst Drivers in America. But if there was, then they were having a convention right there in Nashville. Because I tell you what, by the time I got to Nashville, around Nashville, and then on the other side of Nashville, I was mumbling and grumbling and telling everybody, I just want whoever's president, I don't know who's going to win this thing, but whoever's president, the one thing they can do for me that would be great is just appoint me some kind of a highway driving czar, you know, and all I would do is drive the highways and I would be empowered to pull people over and then take their driver's license and just take a scissors and cut it up into little pieces and say, you no longer, on the authority of the United States of America, you are no longer ever able to drive a car again. And if I cut up enough of them, then I could get to where I want to faster, I guess, you know. But y'all deal with the same thing. Well, I don't care whether it's driving. I don't care what it is in life. You know, sometimes we just face some things that affect our attitude. And I don't want to be that way. You know, I'm supposed to be an advertisement for the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. I don't want to be a bad advertisement. I want to be a good advertisement. So this psalm really helps me. I'm glad I have it memorized because when I'm in the car going around Nashville, I can say, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Let's learn some things as we go down through this psalm. You know, think about this, folks. If you're a Christian, come on. It is easy if we're not careful to get focused on negativity, and we all have negative things in our life that's affecting us. But, you know, if we're not careful, we get one or two of these things, and we just get hyper-focused on that. And then, you know, every once in a while, we need to take a step back. The Lord helps us take a step back, and we realize, you know, okay, I think I showed you this the other day, but yes, here's this one negative thing, but let me take a step back and just say, you know, there's a blessing, and 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 there's a good thing, there's a blessing, there's a blessing. There's, you know, when upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, what are we supposed to do? Count your many blessings, name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. If you're a Christian, God's done so much for you. He's created you. Think about that. Look in verse number 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us. He created you. He wanted you to be a part of his creation. He created in you an eternal soul. And by the way, he longs for you to spend eternity in heaven with him one of these days. And he loves you, and he proved it. Boy, words are cheap, aren't they? And people talk a lot about love, and then they don't act very loving in this day and age. But when God said it, he meant it, and we know it because he proved it. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so he created you. If you're here and you are a child of God, he saved you. Verse 3 says, we are his people. We are his people. So he says, it is he that hath made us. We are his people. He cares for you. It goes on to say, the sheep of his pasture. And so we're not just his people, but we have this wonderful relationship. He's our shepherd, the good shepherd, and we're his sheep. And the shepherd's job is to protect and care and feed and guide the sheep. And he's there for us. That's Psalms 23. We could go there. But we're in Psalms 100. How about this? God has been good to you. Look at verse number 5. For the Lord is good. And how about this? God has given you his mercy. All of us have been blessed by the mercy of God and experienced it. His mercy is everlasting. And then verse 5, God has extended to you his truth, and his truth endureth to all generations. Now, so we could just come down here and say, all right, first of all, if we're going to get our attitude right, let's stop and talk about how good God's been to us and all of the things that he's done for us. He's created us, and he's saved us. And if you're not saved, he'll save you today. He wants to save you today. And he's cared for you, and he's been good to you, and he's extended mercy upon mercy upon mercy upon mercy, and he's given us the truth, and that truth is found in the pages of this book. And so we don't have to wonder what's right and what's wrong, and base all that we believe on men's opinion or the popular view of things. We can go and really study the Bible and read it and know what the truth is. Now, because of these wonderful things that God's done for us, let me just kind of stand up for the Lord for a minute, okay? He deserves to see and hear the right kind of attitude from us. I mean, come on. I've been transparent. I struggle with it sometime, and I don't always stay on the victory side, but I want you to listen. I don't live there, and I don't visit that bad place very often. When I do, I don't stay there very long. I'm human like everybody else, but you know what? One of the reasons that, you know what, God ought to hear and the right words and see the right attitude in Jerry Ross is because he has been so good to me. Now imagine for a moment, let's just kind of stop and think about this. God in heaven watching you and listening to you. Okay, he's our heavenly father, and he spent the week watching you, and he spent the week listening to you. You see, are you sure about that, preacher? Well, Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And so when I was preparing for this lesson, I kind of sat and pondered that and said, you know, when God watched me throughout the week, what did he see? You know, when he listened to me, what did he hear? And does it line up with Psalms 100? Again, folks, this is a how to have a good attitude psalm. And so let's look at this psalm. I kind of give you an overview and wanted to point out the positive things in verse 3 and 5 that he mentions, but let's look at the rest of it, all right? Let me say this about the Lord. God deserves to hear joyful noise, joyful sounds from his children. God deserves to hear joyful sounds from his children. Look at verse number 1. Make a joyful noise, a joyful noise, a joyful noise unto the Lord. You know, in Psalms 126, let's flip over there real quick. We'll probably spend a Sunday morning in Psalms 126, but you know, one of the things, I was thinking of raising my three daughters, and I was thinking of, you know what, I guess one of the things when we became empty nesters that we really did miss, honestly, was the house got awful quiet. You know, when you got kids, you've got noise. When you got kids, you got energy. And I can remember at times, you know, being downstairs, girls' rooms were upstairs, and we'd be downstairs doing something, and all of a sudden I'd hear all three of these girls just laughing and laughing and laughing. And, you know, that did my heart so much good, because I thought, you know what, they're happy. And I wanted them to be happy. I mean, these are my kids. I want them to be happy. I want them to get along. I want them to have a good time. And to hear them laughing, and I think of Psalms 126, verse 1 and 2. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. And I feel sorry for people that go an entire week, and I mean they live this way, and they never smile and they never laugh. And you know, folks, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. If you've lost your smile and you've lost your laugh, you know what? Whether you know it or not, you're being affected physically by that. And you know, I think just God, come on. If I'm a human father and I'm downstairs and I'm listening to my children have a good time and laugh, and that blesses my heart, I just think probably it blesses the Lord's heart when we have a good time and when we laugh. And I like coming to church here. I really do. We have a good time. We have a good time. We laugh a lot here. Some people say, well, I think you cut up too much and you laugh too much. Well, good night, folks. I know what's waiting out the back door, and I know what's waiting for y'all Monday through Saturday, and I know, you know, what the world does to us. So if we cut up a little, laugh a little, folks, listen, it's probably a good thing to help us get our minds right to go into another week, because there's a lot of discouragement out there and a lot of things that, come on, it seems like everybody's waiting to throw a wet blanket on whatever you got on Sunday. That there's somebody on Monday waiting to throw a wet blanket on it, you know, and try to destroy what God did in your heart. But don't lose a merry heart. Think about that. God deserves to hear joyful sounds from his children. What are some of the joyful sounds? How about laughter? How about positive statements? You know, when I was a dad and I'd listen to the girls, I liked it when they said positive things. I liked it when they were polite. I liked it when they saw the good. I liked it when they complimented their mom or complimented each other, said something nice to me. And, you know, that's a biblical principle. You know, Colossians 4:6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. And then Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And I thought about the power of positive statements and the power of being able to rejoice and see the good in things. You know, I taught you this before, but you know, Jesus had a group of men that followed him around, and they attended just about every single public preaching opportunity that Jesus gave them, and they were always there. And you know, you think, well, that's good. They're faithful. They're there. But they didn't come to be blessed, and they didn't come to learn, and they didn't come so that they could gain wisdom, and they didn't come to worship the Lord. You know what? They came for one reason and one reason only, and that is just to sit back in the back and try to listen and try to find one thing they could criticize. Can you imagine? I've often thought about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and following him all through the Gospels are the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and some of the lawyers. And it seems like they were always there on the fringes, and no matter what he taught or what his disciples did or what he did, all they did. And I thought, listen, you know, preacher, does that frustrate you? Well, you know, folks, I guess maybe when I was a younger preacher, it would frustrate me, and I get frustrated with. Honestly, now I just kind of feel sorry for people that are that way. I really do. Because, see, you know, I might have to interact with them a little bit. And yeah, I don't enjoy that. Nobody enjoys somebody that just always, I mean, you know, you've heard your preacher say it, but I know people that can trample under feet an acre of daisies to point out one weed. Well, you sure missed a lot there, you know. But, you know, the Bible says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek, think about this, seek and ye shall what? So whatever you seek, you're going to find. And those Pharisees, they seem like they always found something to complain about or found something to try to, you know, take take what Jesus did and put a wrong spin on it. But, you know, the thing about it is when I interact with people like that, yeah, maybe it's a little bit of a vexation of spirit. And I try to, you know, be the opposite and try to help them see positive things. But here's the thing. At the end of the conversation, I get to go home and be me. Here's the sad part. They got to go home and be them. Hey, I can get away from them. They can't get away from themselves. So when I hear that and see that in people, I just think to myself, well, you know what they say down south? Bless their heart. Well, bless their heart. Wow, you're sure missing a lot. Listen, folks, what I'm saying is this. We all struggle with it. Come on, we're all human. All of us, from time to time, mutter, you know. But wait a minute. Well, what does God deserve to hear from me after all he's done? Did I tell you that he created you? Did I remind you he saved you? Did I tell you that he cared for you? Does this psalm teach us that he's good to us and he's extended mercy and he's given us the truth? And wait a minute, let's look big picture and let's let the Lord hear what he ought to hear. Back to Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Encouragement, sounds of encouragement, sounds of praise. There's so many things here. Psalms 150, verse 6. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. And God deserves to hear praise. He deserves to hear how wonderful he is. He deserves to hear how thankful we are. He deserves to hear positive things from his children. And so God, number one, God deserves to hear joyful sounds from his children. Verse one, we're in verse one. We're halfway through the lesson. I think we're in trouble, but we'll speed it up a little bit. How about this? God deserves to see his children serving with gladness. Serving with gladness. Now, we've got a serving church here. Folks, you can't even do something like we're doing out here without a lot of hands. There's a lot of people involved in this. And that's just one Sunday. Okay, just a few weeks here, we're going to have our red, white, and blue Sunday and bring in the local law enforcement and firefighters and medical personnel and try to honor them. There's a lot of things going on behind the scenes, a lot of busy hands. Hey, watch this. We could be serving, and I mean, we could be doing, but here's the question, are we doing it with the right attitude? Because we can be very busy for the Lord and yet not be serving the Lord with gladness, with gladness. Me and my wife started a church years ago, Brazil, Indiana, and you know, for the first 2 years of the church, we rented a little storefront and started a church and got a group of people coming things were moving and popping. And me and my wife, every single week, we took time. And by the way, I was bivocational. I was working a full-time job and trying to pastor. And boy, I meet bivocational pastors. You meet them across the country. Brother, I got a heart for those men. But they're not working two part-time jobs. They're working two full-time jobs because the ministry requires a lot of time, a lot of effort. So we're doing all this. And happily, by the way, happily doing it. And one day my wife said, you know, we've got several families here now. Instead of us cleaning the church every week, those that have joined the church and are members, why don't we just go ahead and put everybody on the list? And that way everybody would only have to clean the church every 2 months or so. There was enough for about every 2 months, it's six times a year. Surely they'd be happy to do that. And so, you know, I'm a young preacher. We didn't have a meeting about it. We didn't vote about it. I didn't ask anybody about it. I just thought, that's a great idea. So I put on the back bulletin board, the cleaning list. And I got up and I said, folks, I'm going to give you an opportunity to serve the Lord. And me and my wife's been doing this, and we could use some help. And so this is what we're going to do. It'll be a team effort. And I just really expected people to be like, this is great. This is awesome. We've got the most brilliant pastor in all the world, and he's delegated to us an opportunity to serve the Lord. Folks, I did hear that from some, but I didn't hear that from everybody. And a couple of the families just was not happy about having to clean the church. So they would always wait on their week till I was near the bulletin board, and then they'd walk back and check it as if they didn't know, and then they'd go, of all weeks. And then they'd look at me, make sure I'm listening, because they want me to understand just how miserable they are. And how, listen, wait a minute. It wasn't just Jerry Ross hearing that. Come on. You think about that. I want to compare that to a young couple, 26 years of age, Brazil, Indiana. Okay, my mom and dad, unsaved. And they go to the Rock Run Baptist Church, attend revival all week. Friday night, dad gets saved. Mom gets saved a couple weeks later. And they get into the church. And the pastor gets up and says, we need help taking the young people to the nursing home. And they're looking at each other. And they got a station wagon. And do you think he'd let us? Do you think he'd let us? I don't know. Let's see. And they go like this. And oh, good. And then later on, you know, hey, we need some help cleaning the church. And do you think he'd let us? Do you think? And oh, and they'd volunteer. I mean, anything and everything. The pastor would get up and say, my mom and dad's hands would be the first one up. And then all of a sudden, after several weeks of this and them volunteering for everything, one of the older people in the church that had been saved too long, I mean, been saved a long time. Maybe they'd gotten too far away from it. They can go back and visit that, you know, but they came up to mom and dad and said, you volunteer for everything. You'll learn. I don't know how many times I heard dad tell that story from this pulpit. And he said, you know, all I know is this, folks, 41 years later, he still hadn't learned. You know, listen, don't watch your attitude, guard your attitude, because if we're not careful, we can begin. Yeah, still be busy, still serving the Lord, but we're walking around grumbling and mumbling about it. And if we're asked to do something extra in the church, it's like, okay, and then we go home and we talk to the wife, and we roll our, what are we doing here? What are we doing? It's a privilege to serve God. It's an honor to serve the Lord. And here's the command, serve the Lord with gladness. So God deserves to hear that. God deserves to hear his children sing praises. Look at the second half of verse number 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. You know, folks, I think it's so important that we come to church and open a hymn book and just, you know what, we're going to have a song service this morning. Sing out. I think that this is a singing church. Revival meeting, we had guests during our revival meeting, and I had several of them stop me at the back door and said, I've never been in a church where I just heard what I just heard in there. Thank you for singing out, folks. Let's not. Come on, Sunday mornings, we got to get awake. Okay, Sunday school hour, let's get awake a little bit because song service is going to happen in the next hour. And let's let the Lord hear us sing from our heart these beautiful songs and sing as unto the Lord. Ephesians 5 talks about this matter of heartfelt singing. By the way, heartfelt singing is an outward sign that you're filled with the Spirit of God. Ephesians 5, 18 and 19. Colossians 3, 6, heartfelt singing is an outward sign that you're filled with the Word of God. You know, if we're filled with the Bible and we're filled with the Spirit of God, it ought to be just a normal, natural thing for us to open our mouth and sing praises to the Lord. Let's look at verse number 4. I'm trying to speed it up here a little bit. Enter into his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Isn't this good for us? Okay, so preacher, you said sometimes you struggle with your attitude. Yes. So, and you say you might visit there, but you're not going to live there. No, I'm not. And so you go there sometimes, but you don't stay very long. No, I don't stay there very long. Well, how do you get out of that? How about Psalms 100? How about memorizing this? How about meditating on it? How about quoting it out loud unto the Lord and just letting it fix us, folks? We're commanded, make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. These ought to be normal things for the church. You know, I believe that the Lord deserves to see a spirit of gratitude from his children. The importance of a thankful heart. The importance of a thankful heart. Years ago, I preached a message entitled The Two Most Important Words for Every Christian. And I believe this. I believe if you lose your spirit of gratitude, let me tell you something. You're going to end up backsliding. You're going to end up out of quitting to serve God. If you stop being thankful, you think about praise and praising the Lord. You think about thankfulness. And Brother Sam Davis and I was t- telling Brother Comfort that he was here, and you know, he took us back to the Old Testament. One of the sermons, I don't think the main message of the sermon was about the Israelites and about complaining and about murmuring, but he sure laid the foundation out for us that one of the things that the Lord even warns us against in the New Testament, don't be like them in this matter of murmuring and complaining. Now, folks, everybody's got to make a choice. There's plenty of things to praise the Lord about. Yeah, but not everything's perfect. Well, that's not God's fault. I think he's the one that created a perfect world. I think he's the one that created sinless people. He didn't mess this thing up. We did, okay? All right? So don't ever murmur against the Lord. Any of the problems we have in our life, come on, it's sin that brought it into it. And God did not, God is not the one that interjected a sin problem into the world. We did it. And so, you know, I think of Numbers chapter 1. Every once in a while, it's good for us to hear this verse. Because here's the Israelites complaining, murmuring. And in Numbers 11, 1 really hits a reset button in my heart from time to time. And here's what it says. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And the Lord heard it. Well, I complain, but I don't do it in front of the kids. Well, you do it in front of God. Well, I complain, but I don't do it around the church. Well, you do it in front of God. I don't care where you're at when you're complaining. God hears it. And it says, and it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And then it says this next phrase, and his anger was kindled. Now, folks, that helps me. To me, I take that as a very positive, helpful thing, because I don't want to displease the Lord. I don't want to anger the Lord. God to hear that out of me. And so when I get into this murmuring, complaining, one of the things that helps me is to think, you know what? I'm sitting over here by myself murmuring as if nobody in the world can hear it, but God hears it, and it doesn't please him. It displeased him. And so here's the command. Come on. The Lord God deserves to see a spirit of gratitude from his children. Two words that you should say many times a day. Thank you. Two words you should pray many times a day. Thank you. And if you just are thankful to the people around you, come on, husbands, come on, let's all help ourselves right here. Come on, we don't say thank you enough to our wives. Come on, we don't do it enough. Wives, come on now. Come on, sometimes take your husband for granted. Okay, come on. What are you hearing from your kids? Are they turning into the children of Israel in the wilderness? Okay. Interject that spirit of gratitude and thankfulness in their heart. So this is the challenge for us, and we'll close it down. But listen to the challenge. Why don't all of us decide to live this week with the knowledge that God is seeing and hearing all that we do and all that we say? Well, what if we just said, Lord, I think you deserve better than what you've been getting, and I think you deserve to hear better than what you've had to listen to. Come on. Three daughters, it wasn't always laughter, it wasn't always happiness. And every once in a while, sometimes I just say, all right, everybody in the living room, time to have a little family meeting. I think I've heard enough whining and complaining, and I think I've heard enough of this poor me and all this junk. It's time to change our what? Change our attitude. If you change your attitude, your words will follow. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, dear God. Thank you so much for this beautiful psalm. And Lord, I just feel like we kind of tiptoed through the mountaintops of it. And Lord, thank you what we did learn and how good you are, and be reminded of that. And help us, dear God. We are human, and we certainly don't always get it right. But we would ask, Lord, please, your help in the weeks ahead. Help us to be a good advertisement for you. Help us to be a good advertisement for our church. And Lord, may we represent you well in the week ahead. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.